Okay, now, that's better. Okay. You got a great praise team, and that's exciting. You know, while the praise team was up here, I was thinking about Grandy. You've met Grandy, right? And when I was in full-time evangelism, Brad was in full-time music evangelism. And so I don't know if he's full-time or not, but he worked with me some. But I was over in the Dalles at Emmanuel Baptist Church over there preaching revival. And one night I came in and I saw a guy that hadn't been there all week. He's an older guy. He's a lot younger than I would have thought at that time. But he was an older guy. I'm getting old now, but I still think I'm young, okay? But anyway, I saw him on the back sitting there. I hadn't seen him. And so I walked back and introduced myself. And he looked up at me and he said, "I didn't come to hear you preach. I came to hear Grandy." He put me in my place, didn't he? So yeah, I know Grandy real well. Don't ever make the mistake of calling him a dummy around Brad. You know, that'll get you in real trouble. But you've got a great praise team, and I've enjoyed listening to them this morning. Brad got all the singing talent because I don't have any. There's one of the church that meets in our church. The pastor always ends his sermon by singing, right? Well, my people never have to worry about that. So, today I'm going to talk to you on the subject of choices. You know, God gives us lots of opportunity to make good choices, doesn't he? And he encourages us to make choices well. In Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20, this is Moses in the wilderness. And if there was ever a bunch of guys that needed some work, it was those guys in the wilderness, right? And this is the advice he gives them. Well, actually, he was preaching, and this is from the guy from God. He says, "I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse." You know, that would have got my attention, wouldn't it, yours? He said, then he tells them, said, "Choose life so that your descendants may live. Love the Lord your God and obey him and remain faithful to him." Now, if somebody says you get a choice today, you can either choose to live or die. You can choose life or death. What are you going to choose? And most all of them, all of them there would have said, "I want life. I choose life." But the thing is, it's our choices that we make day by day that determine whether, we're going to do good or bad. And there's one choice that we make is going to determine whether we end up in heaven or hell. And so he's saying choose life. Another place that they were asked to choose was in Joshua 24 and 14th verse. This is what what Joshua is encouraging him to do. It says, "Therefore fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which you will worship, the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates rivers, the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." And so he had already made that choice. You know, we need to make that choice once and for all, right? That we're going to follow and serve the Lord. And then there's another passage that's a little bit more disturbing. It's Proverbs 1, 27 through 30. It says, "When terror strikes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you, then you will call me and I won't answer. Can you imagine God saying that? When you're in trouble, when you're in big trouble, you can call on me and I'm not going to answer you. That's a promise, okay? Can you depend on God's promises? Does he keep his promises? Well, that's one I wouldn't want him to keep with me, right? It says, but you won't find me because, and here's why, you hated knowledge. And are we talking about just knowledge that you get at the seminary or school I don't know what your local college is, the closest one around here is, but is that the kind of knowledge he's talking about? No, he's talking about knowledge of his word. And this, because you hated knowledge, didn't choose to fear the Lord, were not interested in my counsel, and rejected my correction. He said, that's why I'm not going to listen to you. And so if that's the way you live your life, and you just ignore God, then what can you expect when you get in trouble? You can cry out to God all you want to. He's already promised that he's not going to hear your prayers. You know, I was in Vietnam, and I remember while I was over there, God was dealing with me. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I was the prodigal son, okay? And I was over there, but I guarantee you when the bullets were flying and the mortar shells and the rockets were coming in, I wanted God's attention, you know, but he didn't hear me because of the life that I was living at that time. I wasn't saved till I was 26 years old in Angola, Africa. And I had some serious problems in my life by that time. And when I surrendered my life to him and I started listening to him and made his word a part of my life, then everything changed. Now, when I was a boy, I got a lot of whoopings, okay? A lot of. Dad didn't give spankings. He gives whoopings. Reed, my second brother, I don't know if you've met him or not. Maybe he's been over here a few times. I was the oldest. Reed was the second. And he got a lot of whoopings, too. Some of them in the same time frame that I got mine, okay? I remember he and I used to get in fights, and we've got as many as 3 whippings in a day for fighting. We don't fight anymore. And then Nalty, you know, he's our brother that's gone on to be with the Lord. He was the third brother, and he got a lot of whoopings, too. And then Terry, he got a whole lot of whoopings. He's the fourth brother. Okay, and then Brad came along, and I don't ever remember him getting a whipping. And I asked him one time, I said, Brad, why is it that all the rest of our boys, all the rest of the boys got whooped and you didn't? He said, well, I watched the rest of you get your whoopings, and I decided I didn't want any. And so he said, I didn't do he made a good choice, right? He decided he was going to make good choices rather than bad choices like we were making. And so today, that's what God, if you don't want whoopings from the Lord, the best thing to do is make good choices. Now, you know, I think a lot about choices, and you see, the choices that my children make, and I got one that's a missionary in Africa, and I've got grandchildren, but the choices my children make are important to me. You see, I want them to make better choices than I made when I was growing up. And God wants us to make good choices too. I want my grandchildren, and right now they're at an age when, you know, a lot of kids make bad choices. And I want them to make better choices than I made when I was their age. And God wants us to make good choices too. And here's why. You see, where we are today is the sum total of our decisions in the past. If we had made a different decision, we'd be in a different place and a different situation today, either good or bad. And so where we are today is a sum total of all the decisions we've made in the past. Second, who we are today is the sum total of our decisions. If we had made different choices, we would have been a different person. Our future will be shaped by our future decisions. The decisions you make today are shaping your life for tomorrow. You see, the thing is, we make decisions one at a time. And one bad decision can destroy our life, can't it? But every decision counts in our relationship with God and in what happens with our family. Every single decision is important. So the best thing we could do is learn to make good decisions. Now, you know, I like to look at Bible illustrations. They're the best kind, aren't they? And, you know, one of my favorite, although, you know, I'm sure for those people around him, he could be a little irritating sometimes, was Paul, right? And he even had a little trouble getting along with his cohorts because he pointed out their bad decisions. He even did that for Peter one time, didn't he? And so, if I were around and I made a bad decision, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't ignore it. You think? No. So Paul was in the habit of making good decisions. And this is what it says in Philippians, 1:21, says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now he made that decision that he was going to live his life for Christ. He said, "For me to live for Christ, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Now if I live in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. And I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between two. I long to part and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Now, he's trying to make a decision. Now, I didn't know I had a choice about that, okay? When I go or when I stay. I mean, there's times when I really wish I was in heaven, you know, when things are not going so well. I think, well, I'd just love to be in heaven. But Paul seemed to think he had a choice there, and maybe he did, I don't know. And he said, I don't know which to choose, because what I really want to do, I want to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven. You see, as Christians, that's what we're living for. You know, I've heard some say that Christians are no earthly good because they're too heavenly minded. But I think it's just the opposite. We're no heavenly good because we're too earthly minded. And so, Paul said, I've got a choice here. I can either stay or I can go. Now, I don't know if that would have worked for him if he had decided to go, if God had just took him up like he did some of the people in the Bible. I don't know. But maybe he would. But he said, he felt that it was his decision to make. And he said, I want to go. I want to be up there. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent some time in the desert with him, the Bible says. He said, I want to go be with him, but it's better for you if I stay. And so, because of that, Paul made a decision that he was going to stay. Aren't you glad he did? I mean, we wouldn't have had a lot of the New Testament if it wasn't for Paul. And Paul made the best choice. And I'm sure today he's glad he made the choice he did, because there's a lot of people in heaven, I'm sure, because of the choice that Paul made. So that's an example. But we've got another example in the Bible. And it's not so pretty. You know who Jonah was, right? And you know, for those that don't think this is an actual account, they ought to get J. Sidlow Baxter's book, Explore the Book. And he has an illustration there of a man who was actually swallowed by a whale. He was a whaler. And they were going after the whales, and he got knocked overboard somehow. And when they got the whale and they brought it up along the ship, by the ship, the next day they brought it onto the ship to cut it up. And after they had, they saw this flash, the whale was moving, his belly was moving. And so they cut into it, and there was that sailor. And when they brought him out from the stomach acid and all, he was bleached white. And he was crazy the rest of his life. He only spent a day in there, okay? About a day. And he was insane. I think you just about go insane, right? But I knew one preacher that said he wouldn't mind so much being swallowed by a whale, it was being nibbled to death by minnows that got him. I always think of that statement every time I think about Jonah. But he spent that time in the whale. Now, you know, he got there because he was doing exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. He told him to go to Nineveh, and he went down and got a ship going to Tarshish, which was exactly the opposite direction from Nineveh. I mean, he was getting as far away from God's will for his life as he possibly could. And why was he doing that? The Bible teaches us that Jonah was a prophet in Israel. And it was during the time that the Assyrians were causing all kind of trouble. And they were just terrifying Israel. They would go in and they would sack a town. And they would behead the people that were in the town and build a pyramid out by the front gates with their heads. They were nasty, nasty people. And so they were the big enemy of Israel. And so Jonah, what was happening is that he would tell the king which cities that he could attack and take back. And God, at God's word, and he would go there, and they would go take that city, and they would bring it back into Israel. But their big enemy was Assyria. And guess where the capital city was? Nineveh. And so God told him, said, I want you to go down and preach to Nineveh, and tell them if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. What do you think Jonah wanted? He didn't want to preach to them because he wanted God to destroy them. And so he went and got a ship, and was headed towards Tarshish. You know, isn't it amazing for us to think that we can get away from God's will in our life by running? And so God, he's on this ship, and the ship's being tossed everywhere. And the men on the ship, they cast lots to find out who's the troublemaker. And so the lots fell on Jonah. And they asked Jonah, said, why is all this coming upon us because of you? And he told them what had happened, how he's running from God. And so they said, what can we do to stop this? And he said, there's only one thing you can do, and that's throw me overboard. Now this shows you what kind of man he was. I mean, you know, a guy that had any concern for his fellow man would have probably just run and jumped overboard, right? But he put it on them. And so they had to throw him over. They didn't want to. They tried to get out of it. They were a lot nicer than he was. And so they finally threw him overboard. And then there was accidentally a whale there, right? No, that whale had been spinning around out there waiting for Jonah. I mean, the ship is going to and fro and everywhere. And that whale is just sitting out there. And when Jonah comes over, it's a perfect catch. Right in the belly of that whale. And so Jonah, he's repenting, okay? You know, it's sad that God, a lot of times, God has to get us in a really bad place before we're ready to repent. I mean, repentance is always a part of salvation. And so Jonah is repenting like mad in the belly of that whale. Now, I want to read you a verse of Scripture. When right in the middle of this, he's in the belly of the whale, and he's telling God, he's telling him all this stuff, you know, he's trying to get back on God's good side. It says, "But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." Because he wasn't doing much thanksgiving up to then, was he? He says, "I will fulfill what I vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Now, being a preacher, I know the vow he had made. You see, as a young preacher, when I gave my life to the Lord and he called me to preach, I made a vow to him, "I'll go anywhere you want me to go and I'll do anything you want me to do." And any preacher that's worth his salt has made that vow to God. "I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do." And Jonah had broken that vow because he was not willing to go to Nineveh. But in doing this, he made another vow. I mean, he hadn't kept the first one and got him in real trouble, right? But he's making another vow. He said, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I'm going to quit my belly aching. I'm going to quit my complaining. I'm going to quit all this other stuff that God hates. And I'm going to sacrifice to you. It is a sacrifice sometimes. Have you ever been in real trouble and try to thank God for it? That's tough, isn't it? How can I thank him for this? This is bad. It's not good. But Jonah said, "I'm going to sacrifice to God with the voice of thanksgiving." That's another vow, isn't it? I mean, when you tell God you're going to do something, that's a vow. When he tells you he's going to do something, that's a vow. And so he vows another vow. Now, we know what he did with his first vow. He got him in trouble that he broke. And so what did he do with his second vow? He went down to Nineveh because he didn't take him long to get there in the Bible. He was going, right? I mean, you get out of the belly of the whale, you're going to go. And so he went down to Nineveh, and he started preaching through Nineveh, and God's power fell on that place. And there was conviction in the hearts of those people because God loved them. And Jonah said, "Either repent or perish. Either repent or perish." And he went through that city, and wholesale, they repented. This wicked, evil city, they came to the Lord and they repented. Friend, there's no city of any caliber that's in such bad shape that God can't turn it around. And so they repented gloriously. And so Jonah, He went out on the hill to watch and to see what would happen to Nineveh. How did he like what happened to him? He was angry. He was bitter. He was resentful. He was mad at God. Listen to what he says to God. He prayed to the Lord. That's in Jonah 4:2. Please, Lord, isn't this what I thought while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from descending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life, for it's better me to die than to live. Does that sound like rejoicing? How did he do with his second vow? Not any better than he did with his first one, right? We never hear from Jonah again. And there's probably a good reason for that, okay? I mean, he had a lesson. You know, God gives us a couple of chances one time, sometimes, but he gets tired of it. You know, I was in Angola, Africa. I was working with an oil company, and my life was in terrible shape. I was making good money. My wife was living good. I worked a week I was in electronics. I was one of the supervisors on one of those offshore drilling rigs, and my wife was doing good. She was in town. She had a couple of servants, and the money was rolling in and all, you know. But God just really showed me what my life was really like. And I hated my life. I liked my job. I hated my life. You ever been there? Everything around me was good, but I wasn't good inside. And so I made a commitment to the Lord. I gave my life to Him. In fact, He told me, said, Troy, this is your last chance. He had tried to get me to turn around in Vietnam and other place. No foxhole conversion for me. I remember over there one time I was under such deep conviction in Vietnam. I thought, God, why don't you just kill me? But I'd rather die than to surrender. What a fool I was. I was years later, when I was in Angola, Africa, God asked me, He said, how do you like what you've done with your life so far? And I said, I hate it. And God said, why don't you give it to me and see what I can do with it? And I did. I gave my life to the Lord. And like Jonah, I made a vow. I gave notice with the oil company, and I made a covenant with Him that I'd never work for anybody but Him. And I've kept that vow. One time I almost didn't when I was in school. The school asked me if I'd come in and work on their electronic equipment and stuff. And I did for about a half a day, and God convicted me. You're not working for me. And so I didn't even take the money for I said, no, I know. I'm afraid of breaking vows. I've got a lot of pastors. I'm director for association of 80 churches. And I've got a lot of bivocational pastors, and they're some of the best ones we got. But you see, they never made a vow like I made. God's using them exactly like He intended to use them. But for me, God knew that there was always a danger I'd go back to what I was doing before. You see, bad choices in life, and we have to make them every day. And the Bible says it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. But we need to make good choices. And when we make bad choices, you know what the first thing that the sign is? Discouragement. Depression. And that impending disaster. Because not only does God write it in His Word, but also He writes it in His heart because God lives within us. And when we're following God's plan and purpose for our life, then our spirit is in harmony with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And when we step out of God's will and we start in a different direction rather than the one that God would have us, when we start towards Tarshish rather than Nineveh, then there's a warning that goes off inside of us. There's depression, there's discouragement, and there's impending disaster. And I'm really sure that Jonah was feeling that even before he got thrown over into the water. You see, this life is God's school for us. We learn the lessons here so we'll have a better life there when we get to be with Him. That's eternity, folks. This is just for a little while. You know, this morning, I found this poem by Oxenham, whoever he is, I don't know. He's probably a ham. But it says, this is what he said, "To every man there openeth a way and ways and a way. And some men climb the highway, and some men grope below. And in between, on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. And to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul shall go." So we have to make a choice whether we're going to follow God or not follow God. And that's, you know, that's the message God laid on my heart for you today. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And Lord, we know that we're not the very best at doing Your will. And we're not the very best at making choices. But God, I thank You that You've given us Your Word. And You've given us illustrations there. And You've given us examples where we can learn to make the best choices. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to do that. To choose wisely, to choose life. And so, Lord, there's some here today, I believe, that they have a decision to make. And that's whether they're going to surrender their life to You or whether they're going to run their own life. And so, God, I pray that You would help them to do what You're asking them to do. Lord, You know their hearts. There's some here that maybe being called into special service, something that You really want them to do. Maybe it's the ministry, maybe it's something else. God, help them to say yes to You today. And then, Lord, there's others here that are making bad choices. They got things in their lives that You want them to get rid of and get out of their life so You can use them. Then, Lord, I pray You'd help them to do that today. And then maybe there's others here that don't know You. Lord, I was in church a long time before I ever gave my life to You. People that have never made that surrender to You, I pray, God, that You would help them to do what You would like them to do. So, God, I pray that You would move them, You would speak to their hearts, and that they would come any way You lead them. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. If you want to just come to the altar, you can. I'll be down in front if you'd like to talk to me. But if God's speaking to you, you know, the simplest thing in the world is just to say yes to God. It seems hard, but it's the best thing you'll ever do. So if God is speaking to your heart this morning, you don't have to talk to me. You can come here and kneel and pray or whatever you want. But if God's speaking to your heart, then don't say no to Him today. Any way God leads you as we sing.